Leading up to the verse which is on the board, verses which has no purport, I'm just going to read through them and then we'll come to the verse that we chant together. Starting from text 54, this is Canto 6, chapter 18, Diti vows to kill King Indra, starting from text 54. Samvatsaram Pumsavanam Vratam Etat Aviplutam Parajishasi Chetubhyam Shakraha Bhavita Sutaha. Kashyapa Muni continued, speaking to his wife Diti, if you perform this ceremony called Pumsavana, adhering to the vow with faith for at least 1 year, you will give birth to a son destined to kill Indra. But if there is any discrepancy in the discharge of this vow, the son will be a friend to Indra. Vadam iti apyupidyatha titi rajan mahamanaha Kashyapad garbham adatta vratam chanjo dadharasa. O King Parikshit, Diti, the wife of Kashyapa, agreed to undergo the purificatory process known as Pumsavana. Yes, she said, I shall do everything according to your instructions. With great jubilation, she became pregnant, having taken semen from Kashyapa, and faithfully began discharging the vow. Matri svasur apiprayam indra agyaya manada shushu shane nashramastam titim Parya Charat Kavihi. O King, who are respectful to everyone, Indra understood Diti's purpose, and thus he contrived to fulfill his own interests. Following the logic that self-preservation is the first law of nature, he wanted to break Diti's promise. As he engaged himself in the service of Diti, his aunt, who was residing in an ashram. Nityam vanat sumana saha pala mula samit kushan pacham kura mrido pascha kale kala upaharat. Indra served his aunt daily by bringing flowers, fruits, roots, and wood for yajnas from the forest. He also brought kusha grass, leaves, sprouts, earth, and water exactly at the proper time. Evam tasya vratasthaya vrata chidram haryanipa pripsuhu parya charach. Excuse me, there's some letter is half erased. I can. Prepsu Parya Charach Jimo, I think it says. Mriga Heva Mriga Kriti. O King Parikshit, as a hunter of a deer becomes like a deer by covering his body with deerskin and serving the deer, so Indra, although at heart the enemy of the sons of Diti, became outwardly friendly and served Diti in a faithful way. Indra's purpose was to cheat Diti as soon as he could find some fault in the way she discharged the vows of the ritualistic ceremony. However, he wanted to be undetected, and therefore he served her very carefully. Nadya gachat vrata chidram tat paro tamahi pate chintam tivram gataha shakra kena me shach chivam tviha. O Master of the entire world, when Indra could find no faults, he thought, how will there be good fortune for me? Thus, he was full of deep anxiety. Ekada satu sanjayam uchista vrata kashita asprista vari adhautang grihi susvapa vidhi mohita. Having grown weak and thin because of strictly following the principles of the vow, Diti once, unfortunately, neglected to wash her mouth, hands and feet after eating, and went to sleep during the evening twilight. Okay, so that led us up to the verse which is here on the board, so please repeat after me. Blabdva tat antaram shaklaha nidra aparita cetasaha dite pravishta udaram yoga isha yoga mayaya labdva tat antaram shakro labdva tat antaram shakro nidra parita cetasa nidra parita cetasa dite pravishta udaram dite pravishta udaram yogeshu yoga mayaya yogeshu yoga mayaya laptva tat antaram shaklo nidra parita cetasa dite pravishta udaram yogeshu yoga mayaya. Please.
Labhyata anat shako
laptva tat antaram shako nidra parita cetasa dite pavista udaram yogeshu yoga mayaya laptva tat antaram shakro nidra parita cetasa dite pravishta udaram yogeshu yoga mayaya. Labdva tat antaram shakro nidra parita cetasa dite pravishta udaram yogeshu yoga mayaya. Any of the ladies? Labdva tat antaram shakro nidra parita cetasa dite pravishta udaram Yogeshu Yoga Mayaya Naprachat Antaram Shakro Nitraparita Chetasa Kite Pravishta Udaram Yogeshu Yoga Mayaya Laptvata Tantalam Shapo Nitraparita Chetasa Dite Pavista Udaram Yogeshu Yoga Mayaya Laptva. Finding Tad Antaram, after that Chakraha, Indra, Nidra, by sleep, Aparita Chetasa, unconscious, Dite, of Diti, Pravishtaha, entered, Udaram, the womb. Yoga Isha,
Yoga Isha,
the master of yoga,
yoga
of yogic perfection,
Mayaya,
by the power. Translation. Finding this fault, Indra, who had all the mystic powers, the yoga siddhis such as Anima and Lakhima, entered Diti's womb while she was unconscious, being fast asleep. Purport. A perfectly successful yogi is expert in 8 kinds of perfection. By one of them, called Anima Siddhi, he can become smaller than an atom, and in that state he can enter anywhere. With this yogic power, Indra entered the womb of Diti while she was pregnant. Short purport, but I was told that I could only go this far and no further, so I better stop. Maybe it's not so cut and dry, but anyway, you can say something.
He wants to give you the garland.
Huh?
He wants to give you the garland.
He wants you to give me the garland. Okay, okay. Thank you. Beautiful God. So, this is, of course, another interesting story from Bhagavatam. How this ongoing enmity between the daityas and the demigods, and well, it's actually a family quarrel, as we can understand, because the daityas, they are sons of Diti, who is the co-wife of Aditi, both wives of Kashyapa. So it's a very involving story. So many incidents, so many a whole long series of events that leads up to this situation which is described here. Diti was in many ways her character was apparently not the best, because it was actually her fault that the two huge, the fearful demons, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, that they took birth. She was too lusty, and she seduced her husband at an improper time, evening twilight. And Kashyapa warned her, this is very bad. You are gonna suffer, the whole universe is gonna suffer because of this. So it, you can say it was her fault from the beginning. But still, she's, like it says, two wrongs doesn't make a right. She makes another mistake by, after both of her beloved sons, a mother will, there's a saying that, if a very horrible person, we say that he's so despicable, he's so horrible that only his mother can love him. But the thing is, even no matter how, mother will always love. Even the son is a monster, as in this case. These were real monsters, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. But still, the mother had affection, and when they were killed, she became very determined to take revenge by giving birth to another son who would be able to kill Indra, who Indra was not the, it was Vishnu who killed Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. But it was because of this Indra. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Gonitai Radhisham. So somehow she vented her anger towards Indra and decided he must die, and I am determined that to somehow or another, by hook or by crook, give birth to a son who can kill this Indra. But there are so many stories like this in the Bhagavatam. Start out in a far less than perfect way. So many material contaminations are there, and personalities, they act in various improper ways, but eventually it turns out good. There is a happy ending. Every story has to have a happy ending, otherwise it's, at least that is how it used to be. Nowadays they like to tell stories which don't have a happy ending because they think that is more realistic. Life is not like that. No, it's true. In the material world, if you are a non-devotee, there's no happy ending. Everything ends in defeat parabhavas tavat abodajatu. Moga sha moga karmano, moga jnana vicheta sa rakshasimha surim chayo, prakritim moini usita. Those who are demons, who are atheists, all their endeavors end up in defeat, disappointment, frustration. So there's no happy ending. And because, you know, the people are becoming more and more atheistic, godless, so in that way you can agree with them, yes, it's not, life is not like that. But we have to say, just surrender to Krishna. Just become a devotee, take up devotional service. Seek out the association of the... Then, there is, you know, things will take a turn for the better. We've seen this in our own lives. So we have some faith that, you know, if you want a happy ending, you create it. It's not accident, it's not, you know, we are not just being tossed around by, you know, some whimsical forces. Krishna gave us some independence, even in the midst of all the, you know, chaotic circumstances which we find ourselves and which seems to be beyond our control. It seems like we are caught up in a whirlpool of material existence. And there's nothing we can do. And that's what they tell us, like Jean-Paul Sartre famously said that the living entities are just thrown into the world. So it looks like that, but if we care to listen to Krishna as he is giving his instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, as you know, we can learn from these, from the Bhagavatam, it's not all, we are not innocent victims, which is of course embarrassing to have to accept, but there is a good aspect of that, and it is that, you know, if we can swallow that, if we can eat that humble pie of accepting that my suffering, it's my own fault. I'm a fool, therefore I'm suffering. It's a very bitter pill to swallow. But there's one good thing about it. What is that? It gives a possibility that we can do something to change. Our life, to change the course of our life by deciding to act in a proper way, to follow the instructions of the Lord. Our present suffering, as Maharaj Vishabhadev said, Nunam pramata kuru te vikarama yadindriya pritaya aprinoti Nasaru, how is it? Asana piklesha asadeya. Nasaru manye yato atmayon atmanoyam asana piklesha asadeya. That the living entity is mad in this material world. Just being blinded by lust, he doesn't hesitate to perform any sinful activity if it seems to give him some immediate pleasure. He doesn't see that he's suffering, not because of anybody else, because of his own previous activities. He doesn't see the connection between his present state of existence and his activities which he has performed himself by his own free will. Therefore he continues to act in the same brainless way. He doesn't get it that, you know, I'm suffering now because I made not one but countless mistakes. I made one original mistake of turning away from Krishna, but you know, then in following in wake of that, so many stupid things, and therefore I'm suffering now. So if I don't want to suffer, then stop this. We don't get it. It's not that, of course, even if we decide to become, you know, good souls, if we have a change of heart, we cannot expect that the suffering shall stop right away. Oh, now I surrender to you, Krishna. Now take away the suffering, please. Do it now. And if you don't do it now, then I become impatient. I decide it's not worth it. You are not, Krishna, you didn't fulfill your promise. You told me, sarva dharma paritya dharma amikam sharanam vaja aham tvam sarva papibhyo moksha ishma. You promised that, but you didn't do it. I surrendered, but you didn't take away the sinful reactions. We have to be a little patient. Tatte nukampam sasamikshamanu. Hunyanai vatma kitam vipakam. Ritvak vapurbhya vidadham namaste. Divitayu mukti padesadaya vapurbhya. Devotee, he's responsible. He doesn't expect that, you know, just because he supposedly had a change of heart that you know, he shall not, that now everything shall be nice. No. He's ready to take the reactions from his previous misdeeds. At the same time, he has faith that if he just continues to act properly, then eventually everything will work out. Everything will take a turn for the better. And eventually, he will attain a state of transcendental realization. Yasmin stito na dukina guru napi vichalyate yam rabha chaparam rabham manyate na nadikam tataha. A devotee is not shaken even in the midst of the greatest difficulties. Actually, within, even though one may be undergoing so many tribulations, but within one is relishing the awakening, loving relationship with Krishna, and actually, even in the midst of, there's a special flavor to serving Krishna in difficult times, which is hard for a neophyte to understand. But Kunti was famously praying to the Lord that after going through so many difficulties with her five sons, one would think that she would pray, "Krishna, Krishna, please, I cannot take it anymore. Please save us from all this." No, was she praying like that? No, she said, "Let it go on. Let the suffering go on. I don't want it to stop because of the suffering we were undergoing, you were always with us, Krishna. So I want to be with you, Krishna. Therefore, even if I have to suffer, it doesn't matter. If that is the way to have Krishna's mercy, the devotee is ready for it. He simply wants to be with Krishna, to have the chance to serve Krishna. Even if it means having to apparently suffer." So anyway, we see here that because both Diti and Indra, even though they were definitely contaminated by material desires, but they were following a proper path. I mean, Diti, she didn't just go berserk and decide to follow her own whims, trying to take revenge over Indra. She understood that she had to serve her husband. She took shelter of Kashyapa Muni and followed his instructions very carefully. Because Kashyapa Muni is a devotee, one may question whether Diti, how much of a devotee she was, but she followed her husband, who was a devotee. So therefore, he can say he tricked her by engaging her actually in a process of devotional service. And in this way, just by being a faithful wife to her husband, she was purified. And Indra, of course, he's the king of the heavenly planets. He's a great devotee, we have to say. Even though we hear so much in the Bhagavatam about all the, you know, stupid things that Indra is doing. Especially when Krishna teased him by convincing the inhabitants of Braj to worship Govardhan Hill and not perform the Indra Jagna. Indra just lost his temper. He just went berserk. It's not, you know, what you would expect from a devotee, but he was, you know, of course he didn't really, obviously didn't understand that this little cowherd boy was his lord. He was deceived in that way. So we can maybe excuse him on that basis, but still, it was very foolish. And as if, you know, he didn't even learn the lesson, because later on, when after killing, I think, who was it? Bhaumasura, he brought Krishna, took this demon had stolen the actually the earrings of Aditi, the sister of Diti, who's hearing about him. He brought them, went to the heavenly planets with Satyabhama and to bring back those earrings, and taking the opportunity, he fulfilled the desire of this Satyabhama to give her the chance to pick a Parijata plant for herself. But Indra, thinking that, you know, again, not understanding, Krishna was acting like a henpecked husband, but it doesn't mean that he's like Indra. But Indra misunderstood, so he thought, he cannot take, you know, what is this? Some king from the earth comes here and thinks that he can take Parijata flowers from the heaven and bring it down. This is not allowed. And he waged war, a big battle. You know, this was after the Govardhan Leela. He still didn't get it. So apparently, please excuse me, but a little thick-headed, this Indra, please forgive me. Don't send a Samvartaka clouds for saying that. But you know, it was. We have to. We can say it, that he was. There was some deficiency in his actions, his understanding. But purification is going on. That's the thing. If we follow the authorities, if we follow the spiritual master, the scriptures, then there's hope. There's hope for all of us. Just like we see here, the story here ends very nicely. It's as I said, it's a happy ending. After this whole thing where Indra is, as we shall hear in the following days, he tried to kill the child within the womb of Diti. Was not successful. Rather, he ended up with 49 babies. And Diti woke up very surprised. How is that? 49 babies? You explain this to me. And even though they were, you know, started out as enemies, but somehow or another, there was a almost miraculous turn of heart, change of heart on the part of both of them. Indra, Diti frankly admitted, yes, actually this child, my intention was to, I was hoping that this child would be able to kill you. She was frank like that. She took the risk of being honest and admitting her bad intentions, and, you know, reciprocating, seeing that frankness on the part of Diti. Indra also honestly spoke, explained, yes, actually it's my fault. I tried to kill them. I tried to kill the child, but somehow the child didn't die, but rather all of the parts of the embryo, they all continued living. So therefore now you have 49 sons. This is not, of course, the first. We know other cases from the scriptures where something similarly happened. Famous incident is, of course, when Gandhari heard that that Kunti had given birth to a male child. They were both pregnant, but Kunti gave birth first to her first son, and she became so envious that she gave a blow to her stomach. And as a result of that, she gave birth to just a lump of flesh. And on the advice of Vyasadeva, because it had been, she got the benediction, she would give birth to 100 sons, which normally was, you know, for an ordinary woman is almost an impossibility. 100 sons, I mean, it would take more than a lifetime even in the normal way. But she gave birth to this lump of flesh, and Vyasadeva understood what to do. He advised you divide that lump into 100 parts, and they were all raised as test tube babies, you may say, put into clay pots, and they all grew to, you know, become Duryodhana and his brothers. So it's not the first time that we see that, you know, an embryo was cut into pieces, and each of the pieces continued to live. Of course, we also have examples of the opposite, where two embryos were united to become one, in the case of Jarasa. One half was born from one wife, and one half from another wife, and, you know, the king thought, what's the use of these pieces? It's a half baby, and he just discarded them. But then this demoness found the two pieces, and he thought, some nice fresh meat. But then she became a little curious, and it looks like, you know, two halves of a baby. She just out of curiosity, she joined them, and whoop, the baby came to life, and that was Jara Sanda. The name means he who was joined by Jara. So that also can happen. All kinds of wonderful things happen. So. And modern science says, it's not possible. What do they know? Just because they cannot do it, therefore, could not have happened. But there's so many things that modern man is far beyond his capabilities, his scope of understanding. So, anyway, in conclusion, it's another very nice example how, if we just take up the process of devotional service, everything good will come from that. It may not be immediately visible, but we should have faith. We should hear these stories and gain faith that, and if we actually follow the process, we will get so many proofs, so much evidence that it works. It will get better all the time, as Ringo Starr famously. That is, if it's not getting better, then we have to understand that we are doing something wrong. If we are not making advancement, if we are not becoming happy and peaceful and hopeful or faithful in our bright future, then we're doing something wrong. It's not the process. Process, it works. If it works for deity, if it works for Indra, if it works for so many others, then it will work for us too. But we have to follow it. That's the thing. So we should always be introspective and check ourselves and see, am I doing properly now? And if we have doubts, then ask. Associate with advanced devotees who will not be afraid to tell you what you need to hear. We don't like to hear often that which we need to hear. Therefore we avoid advanced devotees because you cannot hide the truth. They are our real well-wishers. They will sometimes even tell us the truth even if it's painful. But we should not shy away. That's very important. Always try to associate with devotees who are more advanced, who will actually be able to help us. We need help. Humility means to always consider oneself as being in need of rectification. That's very important. If Indra and Diti needed rectification, who are we to say that we are perfect? We should always be working on ourselves. That is a good, I think, way to end, stressing this. Hare Krishna. I don't know if we have time for questions or comments. Who is in charge here? Hare Krishna.